If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Do we have to start thinking about that now? I guess so. Let's talk about your money with the senior wealth advisor and market strategist for Murphy and Sylvest, Paul Nolte. Good morning, Paul. And let's start by talking about not taxes, but the markets. They're still among the most expensive in history, aren't they?
They are. I mean, we finished the year relatively weak by the broad market. However, a lot of the tech names did very well going into the end of the year. So it kind of looked a little weird going into the end of the year. But when you take a look at valuations, the market, the S&P 500 broadly, it's among the most expensive over history. So that means that it doesn't mean that the market's going to crash tomorrow. But what it does mean is that the forward rates of return maybe over the next 3 to 5 years will be much lower than certainly the 20% that we've experienced in the last two, probably in the more mid-single-digit range.
Yeah, isn't this about where we were at this time last year?
It was. I mean, you know, all the prognostications last year were for a relatively flat market. We were seeing a rising interest rate environment, which we are getting today. The markets were expensive coming into 2024, yet we still managed a 20% gain. A lot of that was due to the tech names. Those were the ones, the key drivers for the market. They generated about a third of the overall return just from those top 10 names in the S&P 500. So it was very much a top-heavy market. So when you take a look at the small-cap stocks, you'd look at equal weight or something like that, the returns were much more modest.
Probably fewer rate cuts from the Fed this year. Isn't that the thinking now?
Well, it's some of the thinking. They're talking now about maybe two rate cuts. That's down from four coming into this year. And the Fed meeting in December put a lot of put a wet blanket, if you will, on the fact that they were going to be more aggressive about cutting rates. That's just not the case. The economy, we'll see the jobs numbers on Friday. The economy should still be generating 150,000-170,000 new jobs, which is fine. Inflation is the key. We're kind of stuck at that 3% range when you look at different inflation metrics. And it's still well above what the Fed would like to see it too. So unless we get some, make some serious headway in cutting inflation down to that 2% level, it's going to be very hard for the Fed to justify further rate cuts.
Commodity prices have been picking up. What does that mean?
Well, that means it could be flowing through to the price of goods that we pay for. So, you know, the input prices for steel and oil and all of those types of products are the early parts of the manufactured goods that we buy every day, once a month, once a year. And so as those prices rise, those tend to get passed through to ultimately to the consumer. So when we start to see commodity prices rise in general, normally we would see 6 months, maybe 9 months down the road where we would see that work its way through the inflation numbers at the consumer level. So that's why I said inflation is going to be kind of the key here, and commodity prices are maybe an early read on what inflation might do later this year.
Some of the predictions for the new year from the so-called investment experts include these. Tell me what you think, Paul. Bonds are going to be attractive relative to stocks. Investors should brace for more volatility this year. And they are wary of a pickup in inflation amid a pent-up demand for wage increases, heavy deficit spending, and deregulation, deglobalization. And now, yes, Paul Nolte, the expert, will tell us what to expect.
Yeah, I tend to agree with a lot of that. I think bonds will do better than stocks. And if interest rates rise, bonds will go down in value, but I think they may go down a little bit less than stocks do if inflation does return. Globalization, or at least more the onshoring, and that's certainly what part of Trump's policy is bringing back manufacturing to the U.S., is not something that's going to happen immediately. It's going to take a long time to build the plants and equipment, et cetera, that's going to be used to manufacture here in the U.S. But that process could be a boon to the U.S. economy if it continues over the next 4 to 8 years. We could see that being a big benefit to the economy. But I think in the short run, it's going to be all about inflation. And that's where I think we really have to keep an eye on what we're seeing at the grocery store, at the gas pump, and prices in general. And tariffs may play a role in that. Mm-hmm. An increase in tariffs could see inflation stay sticky at these levels.
This will be a short week because in honor of Jimmy Carter, markets will be closed January 9th. And then next week, we get some earnings numbers, some corporate numbers, don't we?
Yeah, we start to see the earnings coming out of the banks to start the earnings season. And the discussion may be, again, I'm not as concerned about what they did in the fourth quarter, but I'm more concerned about the discussions and what they're seeing going forward. Mm-hmm. And we may see a lot more discussion about concern, slowing economy, a consumer that might be spent up, meaning they're not going to be spending as much as they did during 2024. So we'll be listening more to the expectations for corporate America more so than what the numbers actually were for the last quarter.
One more quick thing before I let you go, Paul. I was reading this Wall Street Journal piece on how to get a good credit score. It's very confusing because apparently credit history is very so much what helps one person might not help another. So is the best bet still to keep your balances as low? Is that the deciding factor in your credit score, number one?
And that's one. Yeah, two is why I thought you got rid of your journal subscription. but that being said, so the oldest credit history that you have does play a role. So if you say, hey, I've had this credit card for the last 15 years and I decided to switch over to a different card, I'm going to close that out, that actually can hurt your credit score because you lose that long history that you've had with one credit card company. You do want to pay down your revolving account balances. That's 30% of your FICO score. And then, of course, making on-time payments. That's another big one. It's 35% of your credit score. So, trying to keep your balances under control and keeping some of those very old credit cards that you've had for a long time open, mm-hmm, actually does help your credit score.
All right, New Year's resolution, cancel Wall Street Journal subscription, and let's bring on the tax season now. Here we go.
We got another month to worry about that.
Paul Nolte, Murphy and Sylvester. That's not what my accountant says. Have a good one. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.